Grind up some greasy, greasy coffee beans. Columbia Dark Supreme. My heart beats fast and my eyes are wide. Make me toss and turn all night.
Welcome to episode 209 of Grits to Glitz, the podcast that asks the question, what is the sound of one podcaster podcasting?
Hey.
Ah, greasy, greasy coffee beans. Make me feel so extreme.
It almost sounds like there are two podcasters here.
If a podcaster podcasts in a forest and no one is around to hear,
does it make any sense? RSS feed? Okay. Let's get the boilerplate out of the way. That was Robert Morgan Fisher with Greasy Coffee Beans from MusicAlley.com. I'm Amy. I'm in Las Vegas.
I'm Bay. I'm in East Tennessee.
And you can always, always, please go right ahead. Pick up your phone. Give us a call at 206-309-7232. Even if you're in, say, Brazil.
Yeah, we'll take your phone calls. And if you're just, you really don't like the whole, I mean, it's kind of tawdry and ordinary. If you really want to take pen in hand or keyboard in hand and write us an email, you can write to us at amy@gritstoglitz.com or bay@gritstoglitz.com or whatsakeyboard@gritstoglitz.com.
Don't you both podcast at gritstoglitz.com?
Yeah. And we love to hear from you. And thank you for everybody who has ever written to us or sent us a voicemail.
That's why we keep doing this. I mean, seriously, it's just like you like us. You really like us.
You like us. No, it's because I like to hear myself talk.
Well, that too.
Oh, okay.
And the reason for the question is because earlier in the day, we always do that. We send this podcast fodder to each other, and one of us realized that one of us had been coming up with topic after topic after depressing topic, and the other one said, yeah, okay, whatever.
I'm sorry. I have a hard time. You know, this is something, though, when you do an application or a resume and you're supposed to say something great about yourself to make people pay attention to you.
Yeah.
I suck at that.
You just kind of you twirl your little toe in the dirt and say, oh, I don't know.
I don't know. On the other hand, you're really good at saying, I can do a parody of Everything's Coming Up Roses as Everything's Coming Up Regis, and you've got to hear it. And they put you on TV for that. And, oh, gosh, so many examples that I can't think of any right now. But, I mean, I went to a magic show with you in Las Vegas where the psychic guy was reading people's minds. And he read your mind because you were so interesting.
It was such an interesting mind to read. I have the sense that someone here used to be a floozy. Me? Hello? Yes, that would be me.
Exactly. You're good at coming up with really interesting things to talk about. Me, I'm just like, tell me more. You're so interesting. I'm good at the applause.
This week, though, my interesting stuff is mostly rotten, scary stuff. Icky, bad stuff.
I'm looking at your list here, and, well, I mean, no, that's not icky. There's one icky, bad thing. And I want to know more about it, so I guess we'll have to get to it soon.
All right.
But I want to know about the scorpions, too. Seriously, where are you finding scorpions in your house?
Scorpions are not the I know that's bad not, thing.
I know.
Apparently.
You didn't used to have scorpions.
No, I did not have scorpions for the longest time. And then I got desert landscaping, and apparently they brought in rocks from Arizona in which were Arizona bark scorpions, which are the bad ones.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not realize they were the bad ones because they're so little.
Right. You know, the great big black scary ones that...
Yeah.
They look like they would bite your ankle off or something.
Yeah.
Those aren't as poisonous as the little tiny red bark scorpions. Those will...
I did not realize that. I'm more scared of your house now.
Yeah. And in the past week, I have found 7 scorpions in the house.
Inside the house?
Yes.
Okay.
Crawling on the walls, crawling on the ceiling.
Oh my. Okay. Okay. Amy, I like you and I like your birds. It's time to take the birds to a border and get someone to fumigate your house.
That's the problem at my house, really. For an exterminator, I have an exterminator that comes every month.
But they spray outside.
They spray all around the perimeter because I have birds in here. And little birds are delicate.
They
are. Any kind of poison. You know the canary in the coal mine? That's because birds have hollow bones. The air that they breathe goes way into them. And if there's poison, they keel
over. They die.
And die. Yes.
Yes. We don't want our parrots to die. And no. I really, really like your parrots. So I'm sorry. It's just time to find a boarding place and take the birds out of the house and get something done inside. I would like to be nicer about this. You know what I'd like to say?
What?
Remember when I was at your house last year?
Yeah.
And we were hanging out at the pool and the dogs got out and there was the gardener there. So it was this whole big thing. And all at the same time, I'm trying to corral one of your dogs into the house. And I look down and there's a scorpion right next to the back door.
Yeah.
Do you remember this story?
Vaguely. There's so many scorpions in my life.
And I had this whole monologue playing inside of my head with, oh my gosh, there's a scorpion. Scorpions are bad. We need to do something about the scorpion. Where's the tool that Paul uses to kill the scorpions? I do not see it here. I need to find something to kill this scorpion with. In the meantime, this scorpion is less than the size of a quarter.
Right. Little thing. Yeah.
And I'm wearing Crocs because we were playing at the pool and the Crocs are full of holes. So the monologue continues in my head. I will step on it. I'm wearing Crocs. Crocs have holes. What if I miss stepping on it and it leaps into one of these holes and bites me?
Because that's what they'll do, like ninjas. Hi-ya!
I finally decided to risk it. My brain said, I will step on it anyway. Squish.
and what it looked like to me was, hey, you know. I didn't hear the internal dialogue.
I'm sorry.
It's like squishing a cockroach. They really are. They're like little bugs. They're not like a lobster or something.
No.
But they're like a cockroach that could sting the fire out of you. So you'd really, you want to be careful squishing that cockroach.
Have you ever been stung by one?
I have not, thank goodness. My neighbor was, though, and hobbled around for 2 weeks.
Wow. And your dogs have never been stung by one?
That I know of. One time, I saw Lola snuffling around over in a corner because she sniffs everything. She's a dog, you know, all the time.
Right.
And she was snuffling over in a corner like, okay, there must be a crumb over there or something. And all of a sudden she backed up real quickly and then she was licking her nose and shaking her head.
Oh.
The next day I found a dead scorpion. Over there.
Huh.
So Lola may have had an encounter with a scorpion.
Oh, poor Lola.
But if it had stung her, I get the feeling she would have swollen up or it would have been worse than that.
I hope she wasn't stung. I hope she was, like, scratched. I hope the scorpion held up one of its little toes and said, leave me alone.
No, sister, listen. So, yeah, that's my scorpion story. I have, and oh, by the way, I had like 7 of them in a week, and then the last 3 or 4 days, nothing.
Oh.
I think they're regrouping.
Yes. They're gathering up their weapons and making a battle plan.
Yeah. It is weird, though, because it's like they must have had babies or something, and there were a bunch of them all at once.
Oh, yikes. Oh, yikes.
Yeah, not a good thing.
Okay, so that was your not a good thing. Now it's my turn to contribute something to the podcast, and I'm going to have to go with that was my scorpion story from last year.
That's cheating. Is that right there? That would be cheating, babe.
It was a really good story, though. Okay, how's your dog? Other than, you know, the brief encounter with the scorpion.
Well, the scorpion encounter was a long time ago. However, over Thanksgiving, Lola felt like she was not getting enough attention, and so she started to limp.
Limping dog, okay.
On her back leg. She said, oh, I'm a bulldog. Oh, I'm so delicate. Okay. And she starts limping around. So, took her to the vet. And $600 later, yeah, with x-rays and all kinds of things, I found out if you take a bulldog and you repeatedly pop its leg out of its hip joint, it will limp more for longer.
Amy, what are you doing yanking on your dog's leg?
I am not. The vet is. The vet is. Look at this. Pop, pop, pop. Bet that hurts.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. He
Look,
didn't.
Her leg
did
just
he really?
Pops right out. Pop, pop, pop.
Oh, my God.
Let's sedate her and take x-rays. Yeah, look at the x-rays. Look at that. Yeah, Lola has some mild hip dysplasia. It's a good thing she never had puppies because that's the sort of thing you don't want to pass on to the next generation. And it's like, okay, after $600, give her these pain pills until the swelling goes down from all the popping her leg out of her body. Thank you.
Awful.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the pregnant cat on my porch?
No. Is it still there? Is it out there right now?
So right now, don't tell anyone. At this very minute, it's in my living room.
You have a wild cat in your living room.
It's not wild. It's someone isn't taking care of it. Someone brought this poor cat into the world and said, this is my pet, and then didn't keep it inside. And so it has been wandering around the neighborhood getting pregnant. And I can't stand that. I cannot stand it. So I started feeding it weeks ago. And now in the evenings when it's safe, I bring her inside because there are coyotes in my neighborhood.
Yeah, tell me about that. I don't remember hearing coyotes when I was there before. Trains, yes.
Yes.
A couple rednecks, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Predators in the world are increasing because human beings have decided that they've been raping the planet enough and that predators actually have a place in the ecosystem. And so they're
all killing them.
Yeah, so we stopped killing them quite so quickly. And as a result, they're thriving. And we have gotten quite a large coyote population here in little tiny Philadelphia, Tennessee. One morning when Wesley and I were leaving for work, I looked over. This was in the summertime, and it was light at 6:30 in the morning. We were crossing the road that goes to the interstate.
Yes.
We were crossing those railroad tracks, and not even 20 yards down the tracks, there was a coyote walking along the tracks. And Amy, it's a coyote. This is a wild dog. This is not a domesticated animal. This is something that hunts and kills.
It didn't have an Acme box, did it?
Yes, and it carried an anvil.
It was there at the railroad tracks. It had a rocket sled.
But, I mean, people talk about, you see posters at the little store, the Grizzly Pig, posters for people's missing cats. And I'm thinking, that cat's not missing. Yeah, that's coyote soup. And one night I came home just in the last few weeks, came home in the fog from somewhere, in the dark, in the fog, and stepped out of the car, and I could hear an entire pack of coyotes somewhere in little tiny Philadelphia. It was in town, and there were domesticated dogs howling their lungs out and barking, and they're the yip, yip, yip noise that the coyotes make. And because of the fog, it sounded like it was right next door. It was terrifying.
Gosh.
I know. It's weird.
Like a movie or something.
I know. I know. So I worry about the pregnant kitty, and I bring her inside, and I can't decide whether to call her Esme or post office because she's bringing a special delivery.
Oh, what was the speedy delivery guy on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
I have no idea.
Oh, Mr. Something Speedy Delivery. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for saving the poor kitty from the coyotes. I think it's frightening in and of itself that you know what a coyote sounds like. I wouldn't know what that sounds like.
I watch a lot of TV.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, how about that?
I just killed the podcast list, didn't I?
You want to talk about some food?
Oh, please, let's talk about some food. I have something to actually talk about.
Oh. Well, I told you about the duck confit cinnamon roll at Kamsa, which I'm still wanting to go back. Please come to Las Vegas and go to Kamsa with me.
So want to go to Kamsa with you. I looked it up, and there are pictures. There are other reviews of it. People have blogged about those things.
There are links. Yes, by the way, y'all, go to gritstoglitz.com. There are some links. And the funny thing is the link that we have about the duck confit cinnamon roll, one of the comments on it, it's from the Las Vegas Weekly, and one of the commenters said, oh, that's disgusting. Yet another reason for the obesity epidemic in America. And I'm going, hell yeah. Obesity, yeah, man.
Yes, it's very disgusting, and I highly recommend that person not get in my way when it's time for me to get one of the duck confit.
I won't take their cake away from them.
Oh, some people just don't get it.
Okay, so my other dining experience in Las Vegas that I have not had was Postrio at the Venetian, which is a Wolfgang Puck restaurant. I went over to Venetian, which, by the way, has Venetian Christmas winter wonderland. They've got an ice skating rink outside, and they've got a Christmas tree, and they have dancing statues that boogie and get down, and it's something to see. But
I'm really jealous. Okay, go on.
But there was we went to Postrio, and I had a ricotta gnocchi, which was stupendous. Oh, my
gosh. So it was not yucky gnocchi.
No, it was. I can't come up with a good adjective. It was an excellent gnocchi. But it was a bolognese, too. It had a meat sauce with it, and it was, so good. So good.
Bitch.
Especially with half a bottle of Pinot Grigio. It got better as time went on.
Had Italian food.
Uh-huh.
I also had Italian food this week. And I'm so tickled. I can't really call this the best thing about working in downtown Knoxville, except it kind of is. And here's how. When I got off work Friday night, they were having the Christmas parade. They were going to have the Christmas parade in downtown Knoxville. So what did my husband and I do?
Get the hell out of town.
We got the hell out of there. It's different when you have small children, and maybe when I have grandchildren someday, I'll be like, ooh, Christmas parade. But as it is right now, it's like, no, I'm getting the hell out of here.
There's going to be a whole bunch of people around here. Let's go.
One of the partners in the law firm that I work at was setting up lawn chairs out in front of our building at 4:30 in the afternoon for his family who were coming to the downtown Knoxville to see the Christmas parade. And I was like, have a good time.
Is the view better down on the sidewalk or 9 floors up?
I would imagine, actually, there is a patio on the fourth floor that I keep wanting to get the building manager and say, seriously, can I have the key to that? Because I'd like to watch one parade from up here. And that door is always locked. So I would imagine it's really spectacular from the fourth floor, but the sidewalk, I can't see that being so awesome.
And the Knoxville Christmas Parade, how many balloons take part in that?
Two.
Oh, really? There are balloons.
You know, I'm not going to swear. I could have sworn someone told me there were two and that they told me what they were. But now I'm thinking that person might have been drinking when they said that. I'm definitely drinking now. So let's just take that with a grain of salt.
All righty then. I was going to take part in the Knoxville Christmas Parade several years ago in my Austin Healey, and then I got stuck at an airport, so somebody else had to drive my car.
That's right, and I made a giant bow for it out of aluminum foil. I was the craftiest person that year.
And all for naught, because I was stuck somewhere else. But it's a sweet little parade.
It is, and it's on the television and everything. And I got as far away from it as I possibly could.
Where did you go?
Well, see, that was a thing. We had to go down a different way to get out of downtown Knoxville because all of the roads were blocked off in weird ways. And we found ourselves on Sutherland Avenue, and we've been looking for Savelli's for months. And Savelli's is the little hole-in-the-wall Italian place that everybody in Knoxville whispers about. They whisper about it. It's not big and in your face. They don't advertise. They don't show up at the noon news shows and cook stuff because they're so tiny and perfect. So everyone whispers about it. And everyone's like, oh, you have to make reservations. And we've been looking for it for months and we never saw it on Sutherland Avenue. And Wes said, as it's getting dark, as we get on Sutherland Avenue, maybe we'll finally find Savelli's. And I was like, yeah, right. And
then you have to have a GPS with a specific latitude and longitude.
We're driving along, and Wes said, what's that? And we passed it, and there it was. It was this tiny little nondescript, like former factory housing house. Do you know the kind of little box I'm talking about?
I love those little restaurants that are in what used to be a house, and it's got a little different rooms. And yeah,
this is too tiny to have different rooms.
Trust me, this room is
tiny, and it has a tiny neon sign that faces the road. So as you're driving down the street, you cannot see it. It's not going to be like perpendicular to the street. It's parallel to the street. You have to know where that place is.
You got to be looking in the window.
Yeah.
See. Oh.
And yeah. So we turned around and went back and found a parking spot and walked in the door. And I had not read reviews recently. My boss says it's one of the best places in town. And everyone else who's like in the know.
And he's from the city, right? He's from Nashville.
Yes. He's from the big city.
All right.
And we lucked out. It was 6 o'clock on a Friday night, but I guess the people who dine out were pretty much in downtown Knoxville. It was first Friday and a Christmas parade. They were there, and we were at Savelli's. So we got seated and had the best seafood bisque I have ever had in my entire life. And Wesley had mushroom ravioli with cream and pesto sauce, which he adored. I had a chicken thing that was just kind of okay. I want to go back and try something else, especially with the cream and pesto sauce.
On the menu, did it say chicken thing?
No, it's Mama Savelli's chicken surprise.
Oh, it's a surprise! It's a thing.
Sauce. Okay. With sun-dried tomatoes and artichoke hearts. And it needed a little more acid for my taste. But we got bananas Foster bread pudding to bring home for dessert. And it was truly lovely. It's the best Italian restaurant I have found in Knoxville. I've been to a better place in Las Vegas, but you know about that already.
Well, it's a bigger place here. And
Reyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't mind going back. Nobody would have to twist your arm too very much to make you go back there.
No. I'd go back in a heartbeat. That place was great and great service. And it was really, really dark and really tiny. And I feel lucky to have gotten in without a reservation.
Did they have a barber?
Excuse me?
Barber of Savelli's?
Ah! Oh! Ow!
But a
awful!
Sorry. So that's the best thing about working in downtown Knoxville this week. You found this little hidden place that it sounds like one of those places that you only find out about if you know somebody who knows somebody.
Yes, I think so. Because if you look at Yelp, and I don't know about you, but Yelp has turned into my go-to review place for restaurants.
Yes, keeping in mind that there are some people who just won't be happy, and there are going to be negative reviews of everything because people are jerks.
Exactly. Yelp, there are only 11 or 13 reviews of Savelli's on Yelp, and that's tiny. But then again, it's a tiny restaurant. I think you really have to know someone to know to go to Savelli's.
Are you going to write a Yelp review?
Yes, but I'm going to wait until after I've gone at least two more times. I want to be able to give a well-rounded review.
Yeah, I've written some Yelp reviews, but I try and make sure that it's a place that I really feel like I know. If you go to one place one time, it can be fabulous or it can be horrible, and that's a fluke.
Yes, and I have often in the past written reviews on based on one visit, and I feel bad about that now. I feel I should have gone again. There's a place in Disney World that I call, it's called Teppanyaki. It's a Japanese steakhouse where they're supposed to fling things around and fry it at your table.
Yes.
And I call it Tepid Yucky because I went there one time. One time.
Bad experience.
And that was, oh my goodness, that was 15 years ago. I really need to give it another chance.
You are so open-minded. After 15 years, maybe they changed.
Well, see, that's the thing. For years and years, I kept saying, I'm not giving them another chance. It was overpriced and boring. And Wes kept saying, we need to give them another chance. And I don't know, maybe I'm mellowing out. Do you think I'm getting mellow?
As mellow as you can get. Somehow, bay and mellow don't seem to go together. Hey, next week. Next weekend. What is the big holiday next weekend?
Thanksmas.
Or is it Happy Thanksmas?
It's Happy Thanksmas Days.
Merry Chrisgiving.
Chrisgiving.
I'm going to go to Tennessee. Shall we record a podcast there?
Oh, yes, we will.
Okay. It may not be posted on Sunday, but we will record a podcast.
Yes, we will. And it will be fun because we'll be drinking in the same room.
It will be alcohol fueled.
They all are at this point.
Can you tell?
No, not from you.
Really? Okay. I've got to drink some more.
Yep. Here we go.
Oh, me. So that's okay. That's, you know, for a one-sided podcast, I think we both had a bit to say this time.
I'm so glad we did it this way. These are really good notes. We should do this again.
Next time you do all the notes.
Okay.
I suggest quilting and bulldog
maintenance. We could do a crafting podcast next time.
Okay.
Talk about the things we're crafting for Christmas presents.
We'll see how this little Christmas tree comes. I'm trying to make a Christmas tree.
Okay, well, first you plant a seed.
No. A little fabric Christmas tree. It's going to be cute.
Oh, I so can't wait to see.
Yay!
Amy's getting really good at the lunch bag thing, too.
I have made lunch bags, y'all.
You need to make more.
I can. I'm getting really good at it, except for the stupid putting the lining in it. I'm not so great with putting the lining in it. It kind of looks like a mess, but hey.
It's on the inside. Nobody could see in there anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you for listening to our podcast. You guys are the best. Give us a call.
Please.
206-309-7232.
That'll work better. Yes, 206-309-7232. Or you can write to us, of course, at amy@gritstoglitz.com or bay@gritstoglitz.com or whatareyoudrinking@gritstoglitz.com.
Or you could come hang out on my porch and I'll probably let you inside.
And give you a cat.
With kittens on the way.
Here's a cat. Meow. Little housewarming gift.
Thanks for listening. You guys are the best.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Grease it, coffee beans. The only high that's really clean. I like cream in my coffee like a thundercloud. Sugar as sweet as a horn is loud. If you want to break the old routine, grind up some greasy coffee beans. Greasy coffee beans. Greasy coffee beans. Greasy coffee beans.